When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I was just thinking about how, like, if someone's listening for the first time or doesn't know the lore, that we're just like, that was the Chili's year.
That's the Chili's. Like, was that something that happened on the ice? Or
oh, no, the Chili's year. No explanation. Let's roll on. Hey, diddle diddle, it's a kitty and a fiddle. Welcome to the Brews and Bruins podcast, the Hockey Podcast Network podcast, presented by Bruins diehards, maybe, but definitely the PWHL Boston diehard, soon to be named something later. I'm Drew. We got Cam Hasbrook. We got Chris Gear. We got Jess Belmosto. How is everybody doing?
Great.
Awesome.
Delightful.
Awesome. Jess, yeah. Jess, how are you? We haven't had you on in a little bit.
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me back. I enjoy talking about a good hockey team every once in a while.
Where? Wait, is the good hockey team in the room with us right now?
No. Unfortunately.
Anyone got anything to drink that they want to feature?
Yes, but before I have something to drink, I need to air my grievances, as the Bruins are currently playing and just ended the second period against the Ottawa Senators and gave up a goal to the Senators with 2 seconds left in the period. And I need them to stop doing that. All right. I am drinking a Pacifico. This is a beer out of our neighbors to the south. Although I'm sure it's brewed and distributed in the United States. We got 4.4% alcohol. La cerveza del Pacifico. Imported beer. It is brewed in Mexico. All right. What do you know? For my money, this is the best tasting, best value Mexican beer. I got it without a lime right now. Obviously, I prefer it with a lime, but I think it's pretty good without it too.
Lime
drinkability. Lessons. 35, like, this is just beautiful drinking beer. Tasteability doesn't have a whole lot to it, but it does taste like a good solid beer. 18.
No, hell yeah. I got some polar pink apple and lemon seltzer. It's a fine seltzer. It tastes a lot like apple cider, so I think it's new. Shouts to Polar. It was on sale this week. Usually I buy store brand, but you know, when the good stuff's on sale, you gotta invest in it. So drinkability, I'm gonna say 30. Pretty drinkable. Tasteability, pretty good for a seltzer, actually. With that in mind, I'm gonna say 25, which I think for a, you know, something that doesn't really have much flavor in a seltzer, it's pretty tasteable. It's good stuff.
I have a Stewart's cookies and cream milkshake. Oh, 37. Yeah.
God damn it, Jess. 37
across
right now.
The
board. Are you kidding
yeah,
me?
Yeah, sorry.
You're going to go in here and drop a Stew Bags milkshake on me like it's not going to put a hole through my heart?
Ugh. Yeah, sorry.
Shouts to the Stew Bags coffee milkshake, extra thick, extra coffee syrup.
Ooh.
The peak of humanity right there. Doesn't get any better.
Nice.
Drew, what's going on over there, man?
I got ginger ale. That's it. I'm also lagging a little bit, so this is great.
Yeah, we can see that.
Yeah, I don't know if my computer can handle streaming the game and doing the call, or I should say my internet can handle that. But we'll see as I disappear off the screen and come back.
Yeah, it's not working. It's going to be
my,
the answer there.
My internet's doing a pretty good job right now. It has a problem if you venture anywhere out of the, like, I don't know, 30-foot radius of the router, but we're doing an okay job right now streaming and recording.
I'm going mobile.
Okay.
No, it's fine. I'll walk around the house and it'll be good. So we have a bunch of listener questions. I was thinking about leaving that for after the ad break. Is there anything in particular we want to? Well, I guess Jess, trade deadline. We have not gotten your thoughts on the podcast a bit in the group chat and such. But yeah, what are your thoughts, both, you know, Bruins and then also the league and obviously the Flames, who you're paying attention to?
Yeah. I mean, I think the Bruins were the Bruins. It doesn't feel like it was a slam dunk of a trade deadline like years past, but Don Sweeney knows what he's doing more than I think I know what I'm doing. It was definitely an interesting year for the league, I would say. The Flames, I give Craig Conroy a lot of credit being a first-year GM with 7 pending UFAs to handle when he came in and trading off 5 of them. So, I mean, good for him. He did better than Brad Tree Livingwood, so that's a step up.
Nice.
Is that the bar that we're setting now? It's like,
Yeah, the bar was in hell before, but I fear it has gone even deeper.
I mean, Brad Treliving set his own bar in Toronto, so.
Exactly. Like, it is his legacy, and he's still living, so he's got
Tree
got
Living.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what were the expectations for the Bruins? Like, were you guys expecting anything, like, I don't know, like, I think back to 2019 with, like, Charlie Coyle and how that just, that felt really right.
Yeah, I mean, and I had kind of said on the podcast, was it last episode? I don't know. I don't think we've recorded for a week and a half. Sorry, DraftKings, THPN Sportsbook. Yeah. But, like, I wanted them to do something a little bit bigger. I knew it wasn't going to be a year where they're, like, absolutely all in. Let's get ourselves a top-line guy. Let's get ourselves a, you know, a number two defenseman. But I still wanted to kind of see something where it's like, okay, this guy's going to be in the lineup every night. He really bolsters it, whether that's, you know, middle pair on the D or, you know, top 9 offense. But at the same time, you know, we'll see how it goes. But I was a little bit disappointed personally.
Yeah, I think I wanted to see less a specific player. I think, you know, if you were going to go all in, this wasn't a great year to go all in. And I think some players had only 1 or 2 spots that they wanted to go to. So it was probably a tough year on the trade deadline for Sweeney. I mean, you can look all, I said this last year too, you can look all around the league and say, like, oh my God, that was the price for that guy. We could have had that guy. Like, why wouldn't we give up that for that guy? It's because that wasn't the price for the Bruins to trade for that player. Like, the Bruins were not going to be able to get Tomáš Hertl. That's just not how it works. Just when guys have no move clauses, they get to dictate where they're going. I think there were a few players out there that probably could have been had, but I don't know if this is, if the Bruins keep going all in every year, they're not going to be able to field an AHL team. So I think with offseason money to spend, Don Sweeney made a choice and said, hey, I'll bring in some guys who can bolster the depth of this team. And as is, this is a pretty good team. And, you know, we sold out last year to go all in and lost in the first round. So maybe let's go hard the other way and see if we can get lucky and win a Stanley Cup with a team that's maybe not quite as good as last year. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not super disappointed. I mean, Andrew Peak's been solid so far. I don't think he's been fantastic. I think anyone saying he's been so good is overstating something on a really small sample size. But yeah, I mean, and we'll get to Pat Maroon when the questions come through, because I know Drew's mom had a question about that.
About Pat Maroon?
Oh, somebody else said that. Never mind.
No, that wasn't my mom's.
I just assumed that every question coming in is from Drew's mom.
Yeah, I thought she maybe calls you directly with that question. It was direct.
Actually, just do that because her Twitter's incognito. You know, it's like it's anonymous. So all these questions are from my mother. When we get to them. Cam, did you have anything you wanted to elaborate on the deadline?
I feel like I got it mostly out last pod, but I'll just stand on my stance. Not that exciting of a trade deadline, but not a bad one for lack of excitement either. I feel like given what the Bruins had to work with and the wider context of where this season sits, probably not the year to go all in on anything. So which like is a weird thing to say when they're like still, I think, on top of the NHL right now for points, but still feels like a transitional year. It's like, I don't know how both of those can be true, but I think they sort of are in this case.
Pretty good rebuild on the fly.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's kind of been their thing for the last decade now, I guess, well, decade and a half at this point. But yeah, I think all things considered, you know what I mean? It's fun as a fan to get excited about the trade deadline, and fun things happen sometimes. And especially in hockey, it's like the only time fun trades happen. So I think that build up, you know, it's like getting to Christmas morning and like you get like socks, like, you know, it might not be exciting, but it's pretty practical. And now it's kind of the case this year where I feel like, you know, it's easy to get excited and hope for a huge splash. And we're getting, you know, Elias Lindholm, and we're getting Tomas Hertl, who we didn't even know was on the block, but, or Hannafin, or all three of them, and, you know, whatever. But at the end of the day, it's just not always going to be the best move, or like Chris said, not necessarily an option, even price for price when you try to compare it like that. So I think a fairly reasonable deadline for the Bruins. I don't think they've, especially under Sweeney, have really been a team to try to overbuy too much at the deadline. I think last year was probably the biggest splash they've made since what, like, Jerome Iginla or something, maybe. And, you know,
Get Jerome Iginla.
That was the offseason one. You're right. Yeah.
They would have won the cup.
Yeah. Of course.
That's a great what if.
Yeah.
Bruins with Jerome Iginla instead of 85-year-old Jaromir Jagr.
Yeah. Well, maybe Jagr's still available. I don't know. But
he is.
I was there when the Bruins swept the Pens that year.
There you go.
That was pretty sweet, though.
Yeah, that was like a very good, satisfying feeling, and very, oh, I'm so confident. Like, they're good, they're great, they can win it. And then, I mean, they could, but they didn't.
So and before we move to the ad read, I did want to get Jess's thoughts on something really important, and that's the Kate Middleton saga. I think anybody who's been on Twitter at any point in the last couple weeks has been involved in this.
I'm gonna be honest with you, I somehow have stayed ignorant to it, besides that something is going on. Like, I haven't cared to dig. It hasn't just appeared in front of my face, so I'm gonna let you guys talk about it and just try to figure it out as I go. To be good.
So Jess, I don't know if you're being facetious when you said you had your timeline ready.
I don't think she's dead yet. There's always time for that when it comes to the royal family. But I don't know. I've been reading conspiracy theories about how William has like three secret children, and like he has a whole nother life, like he's Hannah Montana. I don't know. Apparently she's gonna make a public appearance for the first time since like November. This week, and then on Easter. So
it's
good luck.
It's been very fun to follow on the internet, because every time something is amiss, the palace will like leak a photo or something to TMZ or like whatever, like the Daily Mail or something. Mm-hmm. And it'll be like the grainiest picture you've ever seen of someone who looks like, I don't know, that could be a skinny brunette.
Yeah, exactly. It could be any blonde, tall, brunette, skinny white woman on this planet. And I think that's part of the mystery because, well, most of these photos look like they've been taken with like a potato or a camera from like 2 miles away. And it's really funny when you consider and remember that this is also the woman that has had to do like pap walks after giving birth, like hours after giving birth. And now she's like nowhere to be found. So, okay.
Yeah.
Believable. I mean, nothing's wrong at all.
The conspiracy theories are range from like extremely funny to extremely sad. So, you know, if you want to go on a deep dive on the internet, it's all there. But yeah. I mean, it is pretty wild to see Charles like getting photographed in 4K in the back of his car when like
somebody said they didn't even know if he was alive when that was taken. I think they might be right.
The rumors that he died on St. Paddy's Day.
Real convenient for the Irish. Yeah.
That would have been too good.
So, in my opinion on the matter, as someone who doesn't really know the whole thing and someone who doesn't give a fuck, I think they need to get wildlife photographers on this because those guys, sneaky
That's
good,
true.
Can
yeah.
get
yeah.
it from long range.
Fucking Nat Geo would be
just
all
like,
over this.
Like, pretend they're like birds and you have to, you know, just get some wildlife photographers on it.
Have
shots of them. Some of the best photographs in the world.
Have we considered that they've got her on LTIR and they'll reactivate for the postseason? Because I feel
that,
like
that. I have heard those. I have heard those rumors.
Somebody call Vegas. You know what's going on here.
The Palace put out a very funny statement through like some media channel that did make it sound like she was going to be reactivated by like her local soccer
yeah,
team.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was like Kate Middleton to be ready. Buy something or something like that.
She'll be ready by Easter.
Yeah, and everyone was like, oh, good.
Rolling off of Tommy John. Yeah. No, I do like Jess's theory that is William, right? Is
yeah.
rocking the Hannah Montana. Like he's actually living a secret life as a pop star. It's Ed Sheeran. It's actually Ed Sheeran. There you go. That'd be good.
Eddie Shaw.
I do respect though that the Palace is like, yeah, let's just leak these photos to like, you know, somebody who's clearly not going to investigate it at all. So like TMZ or something, just throw it out there for them because there's going to be no investigative journalism happening here. They're just going to tweet that shit.
So have you guys seen the Photoshop thing? The
yes,
yeah,
yeah, that one I did catch.
So yeah. The funniest part of that was that after the Palace put out this statement that like, yeah, don't worry, it was just Kate messing around with some editing software and just got a little excited. It came out that she studied photography in college and like definitely knows how to edit up photos. So
I just can't imagine her sitting hunched over her computer the night before Mother's Day on Adobe.
Pasta Hattie, by the way. I feel like
oh, let's go.
I thought you were celebrating the
Bruins Talk Show.
Oh, Pasta Hattie. Nice. Yeah. Okay. I'm a little bit behind.
So, yeah, hockey.
On that note, let's, yeah, we can do the DK ad if you want.
Yeah. I had something I was going to say, but I guess instead of that, I will say we know hockey games move fast. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, hashtag NHL Shield. You can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get 200 instantly in bonus bets. I'd mentioned the available lines, but like we never know when this is going to get posted. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and look for yourself, but make sure you use code THPN when you sign up. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get 200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Go 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit www. Oh, we're going to roll through it. Here we go. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800 gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, definitely voided in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
Oh, well done, Drew.
Yeah, good stuff.
Good job.
Pleased with that one.
There were some hiccups along the way, but we got there.
Pasta just went straight backhand. Like, we love that.
I was told he's lazy.
I mean, it was pretty lazy not to, you know, move back toward the middle and bring that onto his forehand. So,
yeah. Should have broken out the 360 windmill.
Oh, Pasta's taking a big, like, Bruins. That's sick. The bear costume. How far behind am I of you guys?
I would imagine fairly far.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know. It sounded like.
Oh, no. It just skipped ahead to them playing. So, no, yeah, it was while I had the DK ad open. I guess the stream just paused and now I'm back live. This is what you get for streaming in a completely legal, totally way. And definitely not an illegal streaming service. Oh, my goodness, Bokvist.
Apparently, he just passed Cam Neely for goals. So that's
pretty good.
I thought you meant Bokvist.
Yeah,
Bokvist. Actually,
what? Apparently, he just passed Cam Neely.
Yeah, I don't know. He flipped him off on the way by. It was a weird. Yeah.
Yeah. He literally skated past Cam Neely on the way to that goal. So. Yeah.
He beat him with this 20 mile per hour skating. They just measured.
Oh my God.
Okay. Does someone else want to lead us through questions? Or I can bring them up.
I can pull them up, I guess. Okay. Question from State of Hoppy. 1. How dare you?
Not fair.
Yeah.
How dare
our good friend Patrick Laverty, who also introduced this question in the group chat this morning, what would a trade market for Sidney Crosby look like? Have any of you thought about that recently?
I'm just gonna read quote for quote.
Just read the whole chat.
Boston would be an attractive destination to him, I would think, but no clue what we'd send that would be reasonable, comma, outside a bunch of picks and prospects, comma, which likely wouldn't cut it. Also, we're being cap fucked right now. Episode title idea.
Yeah, as much as I like the idea of Sidney Crosby on the Bruins, especially with his buddy Brad Marchand, I think, you know, it doesn't make any sense for Pittsburgh to move him necessarily. I don't think it makes sense for him to move. Like, he feels like one of those guys who wants to play for one team for his whole career. You know, Patrice Bergeron type. And, I mean, if you're leaving behind Gino and Letang, like, Carlson, I don't know, like, what that team still is going to be old even without, like, even if you do trade Sidney Crosby. So it doesn't really make sense to me. And I don't even know what a return for somebody like Sidney Crosby would look like, because yeah, he's old but he's still good, but like, also, I don't know what the Bruins don't have anything to offer for a player of that caliber, but also, like, how much do you discount him for, like, if he says, all right, I need out of here. I don't know how many years he has left on his deal or what, but that's what I got.
Yeah. It does feel like it's probably not going to happen, not Bruins specifically, but in general. Like, he's the reason people are going to Pens games. He's got the legacy. It's not a Ray Bourque situation where it's like, you know, he's our guy, but let's give him a chance to win a cup. Like, he's done that. He's had the success. He's won everything there is to win. I don't see him retiring in anything other than a Penguins jersey, and not on the one-day contract signed at the end of the career. I think he's sticking with it for the long run, and rightfully so. I think, you know, there's something romantic still about, you know, guys staying with their team for an entire career. So, yeah, I don't think it would be in the cards for somebody like him to end up elsewhere.
Yeah, I second that.
Drew, you're muted, bud.
Yeah, I was saying Sid no longer the kid.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. From our buddy Sean Rajat. Ideally, what matchup do you want to see for the Bees in the first round of the playoffs?
Let me check the standings. Who's in last?
That is a good question.
I mean, I have a
great answer for this. The Sens.
It's always my answer. The Maple Leafs. The Maple Leafs will never beat the Bruins in a playoff series. You can quote me on that. We might have to revisit this. I want it every single time. If you start getting scared of the Maple Leafs, that's when the curse ends. So I want it. Bring them on.
I like it.
There's something about ringing in the spring with a Bruins and Maple Leafs playoff series. I don't know. Something about it. It just screams we're reaching nicer weather. The Bruins are going to stomp some asses and Twitter is going to be a cesspool. So let's do it.
I know.
Yeah, I'll take the Leafs, sure.
For funsies, yeah.
Probably the Wings. Or the Flyers. I'd take the Flyers.
The Wings are your team, Drew.
Or what? My like dark horse team every year. Yeah, I know. But still not the year. But, you know, so I'd say Wings. But yeah,
when
Flyers.
They, when they get Sidney Crosby next year, they will be.
I'd take Flyers as well. But, you know, it's weird. The wild card's shaping up. I mean, it's Bruins Panthers racing for the Atlantic now. And then I guess Rangers and Hurricanes are in on the conference championship. But, like, otherwise, it's pretty much wild card race. And then Toronto is out there in left field, like 10 apart from anyone. Not moving. So yeah, I'll say Red Wings or Flyers.
I'm going to go Islanders if they're still in it, which they are right now.
Mikey.
I feel like that's a team that I'm shocked is actually in contention for the playoffs right now. Not a particularly good hockey team. They've got a minus 20 goal differential. Honestly, same can be said for the Caps. They would probably be my two picks. Would definitely prefer to run into either of them than Tampa. Not that Tampa particularly scares me this year, but, you know, Vasilevsky can steal a series. I kind of want revenge on the Islanders for that. What was that year that they beat us for kind of no reason because everybody was hurt? And
it was like the Chili's year.
That was the Chili's year. Plus, Islanders fans get really salty, so just running them out of the barn would be pretty funny. So, obviously first choice Leafs. Second choice, I'm going to go Islanders. Third choice, probably the Caps, because I think they're a pretty bad team this year, frankly.
Sorry, so. Sammy.
I was just thinking about how, like, if someone's listening for the first time or doesn't know the lore, that we're just like, that was the Chili's year.
That was the Chili's year. The Chili's. Like, was that something that happened on the ice, or was...
Oh no, the Chili's here. No explanation. Let's roll on.
Jess, did you co-sign the Leafs or did you have a separate?
Yeah, no. Bring me the Leafs.
All right. Eric Ripperson, another friend of the pod. If playoff OT rules had applied to this regular season, would the Bruins have more OT losses or fewer? Also, if 2023-24 Bruins and OT were a beer, what would they be? Thanks, I'll hang up and listen. So basically, like, if the Bruins had to play until someone won 5-on-5, would they suck less than if they lost all those 3-on-3 OT games?
I'm going to go with a big ol' yeski. They would suck less. They seem to be a lot better at 5-on-5 than at 3-on-3 or 1-on-1. And I think hopefully that will see itself shine in the playoffs some more. Alternatively, if you could just end the period at 19 minutes instead of 20, I think that would go a long way. But either of those changes would probably be a net positive. So,
yeah, it sucked to see them suck in the way that they've sucked this year. Yeah, they'd be better 5-on-5, sure. And that's what the playoffs are all about, 5-on-5 OT.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
Yeah, I agree as well. And if the Bruins in OT were a beer, they would be Drew's White Pumpkin Ale.
Yes, absolutely.
Some more podcast lore for first time listeners.
For the diehards out there, yeah.
That's COVID lore, man. That was...
Yeah.
All right, we got Chris Blackie, friend of Drew's from playing video games on the internet.
Yeah.
Well, when is the real guest of honor appearing at Dube Schmoob? The KOP demands attention. I can only assume that means the King of Prussia.
Yes. No, Portland. Sebastian's been on the podcast before, maybe purring, sometimes walking across my computer and distracting me. So, yeah, he's been on. Don't worry.
Oh, geez, I have to click on this. This is a long. Okay, we'll just go with at RichG6567 has a long Twitter name on there. Will Patrick Maroon contribute this season?
No. He's a broken back.
I think, yeah. I saw him in that TikTok they put out the other day. So
yeah, he looked really good.
Yeah.
Standing there.
Yeah.
He's vertical.
Yeah.
The only producing he will be doing is of viral content.
They brought him in for vibes only.
I think they need to do an hour long, you know, like 60 minutes type interview, Jack Edwards and Welcome to 60 minutes. Tick, 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 tick.
I feel like I mentioned some feelings on Pat Maroon in the last pod where, like, yeah, I mean, giving up assets, like, but like back end picks, like, who really cares? And he's like not a good player, but also he's not one of the worst players in the league or anything. He's like bottom quarter. So, yeah, he's a fourth line player. I don't know. Is he going to contribute? I mean, he will be a warm body on the ice if he ever gets healthy enough to be on the ice.
A warm body.
He Hitty Checkerson, big body. He's one of those guys.
They're bringing him in to do what they thought a different big body tough guy was supposed to do.
Who shall remain nameless.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be like David Backes at the tail end of his time in Boston, where he was like getting scratched in OT games and shit, like in game sevens.
He was getting scratched in OT games?
In playoff, yeah, you know, overtime, the regular season's overtime.
The overtime. Playoff. Playoffs, the overtime of the regular season.
This is what too much podcasting to you, kids. Don't do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's going to be probably his role kind of like that, just like in and out of the lineup. Veteran presence is a plus, sure. Guys won 3 cups somehow.
That feels like a lot of heavy lifting.
I think the advice there is just be on the right team at the right time. And, you know, hopefully it's the right time.
The good news is he's a big body, so he can provide the heavy lifting necessary to hold up that giant hunk of metal. Lastly, and most importantly, Drew's mom asks, is there any chance the Bees will keep both Swayman and Ullmark so I can see goalie hugs forever?
Oh.
Glassy-eyed emoji.
Always an emoji. Sure, but you're sacrificing a lot of other stuff. So it's I'm in favor of trading Ullmark. But if there's a way to keep him in some, like, there's a big shakeup in the lineup and the cap to, like, allow yourself to do that, because I think Swayman's priority numero uno this offseason. So, really depends on that. But I say unlikely, unfortunately. Sorry, Mom. If I had a dollar for every time I've said sorry, Mom.
Yeah, I mean, I think my ideal situation is this situation that's being envisioned, goalie hugs forever. I know a lot of people really want to trade Ullmark. I think the vibes are immaculate, though. And if there's a way to work it out where you eat that $5 million plus whatever Swayman's making for 1 year next year, you manage to bring in, you know, one big free agent. And then, you know, maybe some of the younger guys that are still in the minors step up and you're able to keep them for cheap for a few years. You know, Liesel, Merkulov, a couple guys like that hit maybe a little bit better than expected. You don't have to worry too much about getting like a bunch of good free agents. And you can deal financially for 1 year, $5 million of Ullmark. And then, you know, maybe he's down to clown for a couple mil, do the like Tuukka and Yarrow Halak thing for a handful of years until, you know, one of the Bruins prospects is ready to jump in. Yeah, I don't know. I think regardless, you're probably not looking at more than 3 years down the line, because Ullmark is not a spring chicken. And he is a guy that has struggled with injuries. So, you know, you can imagine that probably only gets worse with age. Yeah, I don't know. I think if you see the writings on the wall and he still has a lot of good value right now, and, you know, some teams looking for a goalie for, you know, pretty reasonable, $5 million, a guy who won a Vezina last year. If he continues playing well down the stretch, maybe the Bruins, you know, do well in the playoffs and his value is still really high. You can actually get something of value for him. If the Bruins end up trading him for, you know, some picks and some prospects that don't have high hopes or anything like that, then I'll be a little upset about it, just because it feels like, you know, not having the leverage, like you need to get rid of this contract to continue with the off season. And I feel like that's a possibility as well, but I don't know.
Definitely possibly sixth round.
You never know when the last goalie hug is going to be hugged.
Well, on that depressing note, was that our final question? I think
it was our final question.
Thanks, Mom.
Jess, you got anything to add?
No. Maybe Matt Grizzlick can find a new home this summer too. I don't know. He really bothers me. I like him. I'm sure he's a wonderful human being, but this season has left me unimpressed.
Yeah, I think things are going to get pretty crowded in the off season, and well, he's a UFA, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think the writing's on the wall for that. Unless, I don't know, unless he really wants to, you know, take a back seat and come back for real cheap, which is also possible because he's
right.
A hometown guy, his dad works for the team. or I guess works for the venue.
Oh, that's enough. That's enough money.
Dad works for the ice team. Let's go. Yeah.
He can take league minimum now. He'll survive off his dad's wage.
I mean, I think he's made plenty of money. But if he really wants
actually,
to stick,
that... go ahead.
If he really wants to stick at home and, you know, take a $1 million to $2 million deal, which, you know, he could get much more than that on the market, but, you know, take a backseat and play more of a third pairing role, I'm down for that. I don't think he's that bad where, like, we can't even have him on the third pairing.
Right.
And, you know, maybe he bounces back once he's a little healthier, but yeah, it hasn't been a great ride this year.
I think you just start paying his dad $5 million a year, right? And then it's off the cap.
That's like the LeBron James making Space Jam 2 and having like, what was Anthony Davis in the movie and paying him a bunch of money to be in the movie. And so he took less money to join the Lakers or whatever.
Oh my God. That's a new way to circumvent the cap. Vegas is not allowed to hire any of their players' fathers or family members.
I like that. It's clever.
So how do we feel about the Bruins' chances of winning this game that will have already concluded by the time people are listening to this? 5.5 minutes left and the Bruins are up by 3.
I'm comfortable. Three goals, I'm comfortable. 2, I'm uncomfortable. So I guess unless Ottawa, like, in the next 30 seconds or a minute score.
Pretty uncomfortable with 3, but as long as the 3 is within 5 minutes, I think we're good.
I think so. I mean, I'm accounting for, you know, one, like, just fuck up, and then another goal when they have the goalie pulled, but we still win. We're safe, so...
the bar is the floor here.
So I mean, my guess is 5-4, but I still feel confident we're gonna win.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable or confident until the clock is. Just,
I mean, we didn't talk at all about the Flyers game. That was something crazy. The tied 2-2 going into the third period, Bruins score 3 really quick goals in the first 3 minutes of the period, and then only win by 1.
That was quite the infuriating game, but it was fun at the end.
Yeah, I think fun for anybody who wasn't a Bruins fan until the final result was in, because that was a win. Technically, mm-hmm. That counts as the, you know, 2 points in the standings, so. Oh, what's up, Sebastian?
He has something to say.
Let him speak.
He was desperate to get out of my arms. But here, Sebastian, got anything to say?
Drew, why are you silencing Sebastian?
What do you have to say about the Bruins, Sebastian? Do you like the Bruins? You watch with me sometimes.
Very insightful.
I don't know. He's purring really loud. I don't know if that came through on the mic or not.
Mm-hmm. It's picking up.
Oh, good. All right. There you go, Chris. Right, Chris Blackie, who sent the question about the King of Portland, and Chris Gear.
We did well. Shouts to all Chris's, honestly.
And shouts to the Ford F-150 Final 5. Use code THPN at your local Ford dealer.
This year, I think my best Bruins tweet was, you know, we got to start calling this the Toyota Tundra Terrible 2, the way that the Bruins keep losing the last 2 minutes. Got to get a new sponsor.
If you go Toyota. Want a sponsor, let us know.
Oh, we're fixing the glass.
Again?
Guess who's back, get back again, gang. Grizzly's dad is back. Give him 5 mil. You can do it in all bonuses in his contract, too. Like, every time he has to fix the glass, it's like 500K. Yeah.
I'm sad Isabel's not here because she would have wanted to talk about the hockey game we went to. So we dog sit for Kat's boss, who is a goofy man, and his dog mirrors his personality. And so it's like, it's an undertaking to dog sit for this dog. He comes over and hangs out, but he's like a little, he and Tucker are a monster pair together. They are always moving, always doing something. They love playing together, but it's a lot. So Kevin very graciously pays us with sports tickets when we do this. And so he put us right by the glass, or right behind the penalty box for the San Diego Gulls playing against the Milwaukee Admirals, where Luke Prokop plays and got his first AHL point. And that was exciting to see. But Isabel got a puck. She got to, you know, yell at some players in the penalty box. She got to make some of the funniest jokes I've ever heard, including asking what it means when it says, if you see something, say something. And then when Kat said, you know, if something bad's happening, you tell somebody. And she said, like, if somebody's offside.
Oh, that's incredible. God.
Did you say yes? Because that's like, I like a fan that like yells at the refs, you know?
Honestly, when Isabel makes a joke like that, we usually just laugh and don't correct her because we want her to just keep being the funniest person alive.
Yeah, that's good parenting right there. And I mean that sincerely.
Thank you.
I wouldn't know for sure. I don't know how that's going to end up. I guess we'll revisit the topic in like 5 years. She's yelling at people all over stadiums across the country.
We can only hope.
Good content. Anything can be monetized.
Hey, I'm leaving this podcast tour when I die, so.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, part of the will.
She has my spot on this podcast.
Perfect. You. All right. Are we just like kind of waiting for the game to end?
I don't know. waiting for them to fix the glass.
It's gonna be a while.
There was a penalty called.
There's like 3 minutes, 29 seconds, or some shit left.
Miko Rantanen with another 2-goal game.
I like
those. What a guy!
Very funny, Drew, when you sent the group. Miko Rantanen is like insane or something like that. And I also had the notification from my fantasy team saying Miko Rantanen scored 2 goals. The Bruins did not score on that very great scoring chance, so I think we should just call it. They're on the power play with 2 minutes left in the game, so.
When they inevitably blow it, you don't have to listen to us be sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone needs to do the
over down by the river. Hey, Brazzo scored. Let's end it there.
Oh, nice. 2-goal game for him.
Yeah. He's good. We like
You thought the bear pelt was sick. Wait till you see what happens when he tucks the hattie. Yeah.
They're going to throw a real bear on the ice.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool goal, actually.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah,
thanks for coming back.
Yeah. Always happy to chat with you guys.
With the
feeling is mutual.
Yeah. I was like, we haven't talked to you in a while, Jess, even though we talk to you every day in the group chat.
It's okay.
We haven't recorded talking to you.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining.
We haven't recorded a discussion, which are the only ones that really matter. You know,
like, it doesn't go on the record unless it's recorded.
Yeah, if it's not on the record, it's meaningless to me, you know.
that's the life of a journalist, isn't it, Drew?
Yes, actually. Everything else is just a facade. Those are the only moments.
Your friendships, they're not on the record.
Yeah, no. Only when I'm like shooting, you know, random Snapchats and stuff. I haven't used Snapchat in 2 years, but
I think Lancey's the only one that uses it.
Yeah, I use it once in a while to Snapchat Lancy.
Can I have like a 900-day streak on there? So I think we're just like, it's ceremonial at this point.
That's incredible.
That is a very long streak.
It's mostly pictures of Tucker and Isabel.
And of Justin Brazzo. All right, everybody, I forgot I'm hosting. Thank you for listening. Jess, we appreciate you. Cam, I appreciate you. Chris, I appreciate you. Sebastian's here. I appreciate him. Bye.